This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
Hello, I'm Mark Boulanger. The International Labour Organization, the ILO, is promoting the development of cooperatives as one of the ways to reduce child labour in the world. The ILO is the UN specialized agency focused on work-related matters. The emphasis on cooperatives comes from the fact that about 60% of all child labourers work in farming or a related industry. These sectors are where cooperatives are most active. I talked to Simon Stain about child labour. Mr. Stain is the head of the Social Dialogue and Partnerships Unit of the ILO's International Programme on the Elimination of Child Labour, IPEC. I asked him first how many children are involved in child labour around the world and in what sectors they work.
Well, the latest statistics that we published last year showed that, which are for 2012, show that there are approximately 168 million children working in conditions of child labour all over the world. And they work in a very wide range of sectors. So if you ask me how many are involved in sectors where cooperatives are active, my first response would be, well, 89 million of those children are in child labour in agriculture. Another million or so are in child labour in mining. There are about a quarter of all those children are in the service sector. Now, the service sector has some cooperatives, for example, street traders, co-ops, and other types of vending cooperatives. There are some manufacturing cooperatives, of course. So I can't say how many of those 168 million are involved in sectors where cooperatives are active. What I can say is that in almost every sector where there's child labour, we also have the benefit of the presence or the beginnings of presence of cooperatives.
So why focus on cooperatives in the struggle to end child labour?
As far as we know, there are relatively few children involved in child labour working in co-ops, but co-ops are active in pretty much most of the sectors where child labour is to be found. The co-ops are one of the sectors where we think we find a far less incidence, if at all, of child labour. And in some cases, co-ops have been a main vehicle for the removal of child labour from the workforce. Cooperatives are, you know, part of that big part of the global economy that we call social enterprises. At least they have the potential to be social enterprises, because you can have a co-op of employers who get together and they don't always act socially. It's not a foregone conclusion. But the fundamental purpose of cooperatism is to share, to pool resources and to pool benefits. Now, there are different types of co-ops. There are big co-ops, there are small co-ops, there are small farmers co-ops, there are very big farmers co-ops. And one of the things that's important to remember is that where co-ops are employing hired labour, they also need to be good employers, and they need to operate proper labour relations systems like any other employer. The fact that you're running a cooperative doesn't mean that you shouldn't engage in normal labour relations with an organised workforce.
What exactly is child labour?
Child labour is defined simply, if you like, the simple answer is, A child labour is a type of work for which the child concerned is too young. And we have various minimum ages in international law, transposed international law in the majority of countries, which basically say the following. No child should work full time until they're old enough to leave school, and they should be 15 at least. And in countries which haven't got an adequately developed economy or education system, temporarily that age can be set at 14. So for non-hazardous work, normal entry into youth employment, 15, and in some countries, 14. No child under 18 should do hazardous work, full stop. Doesn't matter where they're working, whether they're working in a family enterprise or farm, in a plantation or a factory or in a mine, wherever they're working, no child under 18 should perform hazardous work. And then if kids are under the age of 15 or 14, they are permitted to do some light work, which doesn't interfere with their schooling, from the ages of 13 or 12. But it's very clear, those things, the work above 18, no hazardous work under 18, normal, safe work For youth employment above the ages of 14 and 15, okay. Light work above the ages of 12 or 13, where it's safe, where it doesn't interfere in education, okay. But if you've got kids under those ages working full-time, that's child labour. If you've got kids in hazardous work under 18, that's child labour. And basically, what we have is a roughly half, about 85 million of the 168 million children in child labour, are performing hazardous work and other worst forms of child labour, which are work in conditions of modern slavery and forced labour, work in illicit activities, for example, organised begging or drug trafficking, and children who are victims of commercial sexual exploitation. Those four groups, the illicit activities, commercial sexual exploitation, forced labour and hazardous work, they're the worst forms of child labour according to international conventions. And the other children, the other 83 million children, are in child labour simply because they're too young to be at work. And it's important we do treat worse forms as a priority for action, but that doesn't mean we work on worse forms in isolation from the rest. And in fact, we're pretty sure that in recent years it's become clearer that where you take an integrated approach to dealing with child labour, particularly when you try and create child labour-free areas as part of a national programme, so your entry point might be the prevalence of a worst form, for example, in mining or in agriculture, but your exit point should be a community free of all child labour, where every child's in school and where youth and adults have decent work. That's the strategy, if you like. But the worst forms are, of course, they're often considered a priority for action because the suffering they involve is so very great. And for most of those children, it's simply because the work is dangerous. Children working in agriculture using pesticides, children working in tobacco production being exposed to green tobacco sickness, children working in mining underground, children working at heights, children working in extreme heat for extremely long hours without water and sanitation. All those things are characteristics of hazardous work. But that doesn't mean to say that if you're seven, it's okay for you to go out to work full time just because the work isn't dangerous. If you're under the minimum age, you shouldn't be at work. You should be in school.
You worked for the Trades Union Congress in the UK for a long time. That experience and your work at the ILO now gives you a unique perspective. What do you think trade unions should be doing to help end child labour?
Well, actually, during that time, I was also the ILO Workers Group spokesperson on child labour and led the workers group on those issues in the governing body and in the steering committee of IPEC. That's before I joined the staff of the ILO. I would say that there are three main ways, and they're all interwoven. Firstly, of course, at the national level, national trade union centres have an absolute duty to engage in tripartite dialogue with employers and with governments at the national level to make sure that child labour policies that attack child labour, that reduce child labour on social protection, on employment promotion, on education, on all those areas of social, economic and labour market policy, that child labour concerns are integrated into those policies so that they can be effective national action plans against child labour, not just in isolation, but integrated into all social and economic policy. That's the duty at the national level, policy making with government and employers. Then at the sectoral and company level, well, of course, unions should be integrating into their bargaining agendas, as many of the global union federations have done with international framework agreements, clear commitments on the behalf of companies that they won't employ child labour and that they will seek their best to have a positive impact against child labour in their value chain. And then we need to think about where child labour is. Well, actually, it isn't in the meeting rooms of the trade union offices, and it isn't in the ministry's meeting rooms or in parliaments either. It's in the informal economy. It's in agriculture. And that's where the greatest organisational challenges for labour are. One of the key jobs, if we know that an organised workplace is almost certainly going to be a child labour-free workplace, then it's pretty much a no-brainer to realise that organising and strengthening the trade union presence in workplace is one of the key ways to make sure we have workplaces that are free of child labour. But the challenge, of course, means that we need to pursue these innovative approaches to rural workers' organisation, to supporting the self-organisation of domestic workers, of workers in the informal economy, so that in the sectors where the rule of law is largely absent or weak, or where currently the trade union presence or even the presence of employers' organisations is absent or weak, that we strengthen the structures for representation, for collective voice, for social dialogue, for negotiation. It may not look like it does when you're sitting down in a public service negotiation or a negotiation in a major, you know, car-making plant in an industrialised country. But the beginnings of self-organisation, which we see everywhere now, across in the informal economy and the rural economy in the developing world, innovative approaches to organisation, making sure that workers have a collective voice in the informal and the rural economy, their own collective voice, and that into that organising and bargaining agenda, child labour is one of the elements that's mainstreamed. That's one of the key weapons that the labour movement has to combat child labour. You know, the South African mine workers' unions always used to say, the stronger the union, the safer the mine. Well, I think we could also safely say, the stronger the union, the far less likely it is that that workplace is going to have a child labourer in it.